Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all the participants' line will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Pallav.
Yeah, thank you, Via. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us on a Saturday morning for the Kirloskar Ferrous first quarter results call. We have the senior management with us today, represented by Mr. Kumarte, the Managing Director, and Mr. Srivatsan, the ED Finance and the CFO. So now I would like to hand over to Mr. Kumarte for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pallav. So I would like to start with thanking everyone for joining on Saturday morning, though it's a holiday. Sorry for organizing it on a holiday. We will take care to keep it on a working day next time onwards. And thank you very much, in spite of being Saturday, joining this call in large numbers. I would like to start with all of you know that this would become the first quarterly call which is being conducted on a merged entity. We completed all the three steps of acquisition, turnaround and merger of ISMT into Kirloskar Ferrous Industries Limited. And happy to have this conference call in such a short period of entire thing completed in 3 years. Having said that, all of you have been having a number of questions regarding KFIL. In addition to that, ISMT, and one of the question was when we going to have conference call for ISMT. I think with this merger, it would be a combined thing, and we are happy to host this as a combined first quarterly call. As all of you know, quarter one results are out, and all those numbers are with you. I would prefer not to give all those numbers once again because you are completely up to date on these numbers, which are already on the public domain. But I would like to just say that the quarter one was the quarter wherein we had elections across India and some effect on the projects and project-related buying and hence some effect coming out of that. Also during this quarter, last year and this year, we went live on ERP system and the latest Fusion system, Oracle ERP system, and we had some teething troubles and some effects on the sales and dispatches in the steel and tube business. And in general, also the market was quite subdued. In spite of that, the entire team still managed to achieve a small growth of 4% on the top line compared to the last year first quarters. And also, I would say that sequentially, we could improve the bottom line, we could improve profitability, but margins in general in iron and steel industry are under pressure. And good part is that all our projects are on track. We have not deferred anything, and we will be going ahead with all the projects which are basically in the nature of either cost reduction or in the nature of improving the productivity and the top line. Also during the quarter, we commissioned the solar power plant. 35 megawatt out of the 70 megawatt. But technically 70 megawatt is commissioned, and we are adding more modules to the grid, and we expect that by the end of September, early October, we should be on go with the entire 70 megawatts of solar. Further, we are attempting to take the capacity of the same location, Jalna, to 100 megawatt, so that by the end of this financial year, we will reach a level of 100 megawatt in solar, which will help us in further decarbonizing and cut down on our CO2 emissions. At the same time, also help us in cutting down the power and fuel cost. As you all know that we, last year, September, we acquired Oliver, and we have at an advanced stage of restoring the facility, and very recently we got the full power connection from the Punjab Electricity Board, and we are now ready for testing trials and commissioning of the foundry. We expect to commission the foundry in the month of September, and also make the samples, submit the samples to the customer, and go on regular production from the second half of this year. I think these are some of the key highlights during the quarter, and I would prefer to move ahead with the questions quickly so that I can try and answer more and all the questions what you people have this morning. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashav Patel from Molecule Venture PMS. Please go ahead.
Very good morning, Gomasthi sir and the entire team. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity and also congratulate to the entire team on the successful merger. This was long due and lovely news to know. Sir, I will start my questions with a couple of suggestions first. We would like to know the update on NSE listing, because as we know, now it has been almost a year and we have not been listed on National Stock Exchange. Because of that, it prevents multiple institutions to buy and trade actively in our stock. So please give an update on the same. Second one is kindly upload the PPT on the exchange, because that is the practice for all of the companies out there. Third suggestion would be segmental EBITDA per ton, because now we have four different verticals with all different moving variables. Like our peers also give EBITDA per ton segment-wise. So if you could give that, that would be really helpful for us to actually understand which segment is placed how at any point in time. That's all from my side. I'll start with the question. Why ramp up for all the segments have been quite slow compared to our expectation? All pig iron and casting both, they are still operating at FY24 run rate. So if you could give the explanation on the same. And same goes for tube. In fact, tube has degrowth.
Yeah, thank you, Ashav, for the questions. As we have earlier also stated, the NSE listing will be taken up after the merger of ISMT into KFL. We couldn't handle them together because of the changing nature of merger process. So we will at the earliest take up to get listed on NSE. We will talk to our concerned teams inside, and we will take up the next steps without fail. And on your suggestion of PPT on the exchange, let me Srivatsan and Mayuresh are on the call. Mayura is on the call, and we will take up appropriately, including the segment reporting EBITDA. As per the requirements and the guidelines and the best practices, we will align without any doubt.
Great.
And I explained a little bit on the slower growth. I think of the contributing factors, I don't want to repeat the same thing, but going forward from quarter two of this year, we are definitely committed for the growth in all the segments, and we have a focus for that. We have created quality capacity to achieve that, but we are a part and parcel of the whole bigger market and can't avoid that. And but operationally, we are not lagging anywhere to take it to the growth path. For example, I would like to say that we are running all the three blast furnaces, and we expect we have already reached, and we expect our sales volumes will go to the range of 54,000-55,000 metric tons per month. And only change which will come is ISMT sales will be internal transfers. But we are committed. As you know, once we get into the oxygen enrichment, our productivity goes up, and we are expecting to go with the oxygen enrichment in October itself, which will give the double-edged benefit of reducing the cost because of replacing coke by coke. To an extent of another 50 to 60 kg per ton of hot metal in basic grade, maybe 30 to 40 kg in case of the foundry grade. So with the increased volumes, I expect that our net sales of bigger and should remain more than 150,000 per quarter. And on the casting demand front,
please go ahead, sir.
With respect to casting demand, there was definitely a subdued demand position up to the 15th of May, but subsequently demand across the board, including the tractor, automotive and earth-moving equipment, has improved, and we have the opportunity to produce full-length cell. So we are ramping up, and current run rate, we are more than 12,000 tons per month, and we expect growth to start appearing from quarter two. Same story with the tube, and we have overcome all the teething problems related to ERP, and project demands in tubes has also picked up. We have some more challenges in the area of steel, which we are working, and we are confident to bring growth in steel sales also. So we expect overall growth to return back from quarter two.
Got it, sir. So, sir, just to summarize, we given our earlier guidance of FY25, design close to 6 lakh metric ton, casting close to 1.6 lakh metric ton, and tube close to 1.5 lakh metric ton. So, broadly speaking, all this guidance will remain intact for FY25, right?
See, typically, if you look at April and mid of May, we kept the Hiriyur closed for market not being good enough, especially on the bigger margin. We could have sold tonnage, but margin. That would become a net loss. But whether we can recover that much quantity, we are working on that, and there are possibilities. But you are right, the guidance volume should prevail.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, regarding the blended coking coal price, what would be the our average for Q1, and what is our average coking coal price on inventory?
I don't remember exactly because we keep going month-wise, but I would say that blended coal prices in quarter one compared to the last year have dropped, and quarter two will drop further. But typically at any given point of time, we have 3 months coal less, not necessarily everything in stock, but in transit, in contract and in stock. So the effect of reduced price comes only after 3 months, and I expect it to really reflect in quarter three. So, but it is dropping, and as you know, if we are able to manage the margin in spite of pig iron prices falling, it's only because our costs on coal have come down and our efficiencies have improved. Whereas the cost of iron ore has not come down, rather they have a bit gone up in the Indian market context.
So in seamless tube segment, sir, one of our peer and who is also a market leader, they reported a bad set of numbers for Q1, and they also guided for sustained margin pressure, largely on account of dumping primarily from China, but being dumped from elsewhere, other geographies. So what is your take on that situation? Despite having an active anti-dumping duty, do you feel the seamless tubes are still being dumped? And what strategy do we have to overcome this challenge?
If not a domestic market not getting affected in a big way, definitely the export market is affected because of the surplus condition with respect to China and their desperation in selling across the globe, and also certain pressures coming into India. Maybe we will try to protect India to the extent possible, but there are always time lags, and there are innovative ways of avoiding certain things. But I would like to say that the effect is likely to be more on our exports. Indian steel and tube exports are definitely affected, and some dumping effect on India, but we are very actively in contact with government to protect the Indian manufacturers against the dumping, and we are always available for the fair playing field competition. I would like to say that in India, demand conditions are going to revive, and we should be able to manage the volumes and definitely the, if not expected full growth, but at least expectation of 10% to 12% growth, could be 15% growth. We look forward in this year.
So just a follow-up on that, sir, our large clients like ONGC, do they prioritize domestically produced seamless tube for their own requirement, or they are indifferent?
No, I think they are highly committed to Make in India government policy. They are part of the public sector, and we are working with them to support in all aspects, whatever is our range of operation. And we are very happy to have such valuable customers, and we'll be happy to work with them to support them in all their projects, and it is our duty.
Sure, sir. Got it. That's all from my side. I have other questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashok.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hina from DHC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yes, Hina, you're audible. You can go ahead.
Yes. I just want to know, is there any planned shutdown?
No planned shutdowns in pending as of my best knowledge. No.
No, in the upcoming quarters?
No, I'm talking about quarter two, quarter three. I don't have. But you can expect in steel and tube plants, which are in Maharashtra, typically we will have Diwali time stoppage. Typically 1 week is a common thing.
Okay. What are the strategies for the iron ore sourcing? Is there any guidance on the iron ore cost that can you provide us?
The guidance, basically we are very clear that Indian iron and steel industry, especially the southern or eastern sector, we have to be dependent on Indian iron ore. It is definitely not a sensible thing to export Indian iron ore. I've been of this opinion All along, we are a populous country. We have to create jobs, and we are in the business of creating jobs, and we are committed to that. And I think India has enough iron ore to support the Indian iron and steel aspirations, but export is a problem, and I expect that Indian mining industry will support us in fulfilling the growth aspiration of iron and steel. Whereas coking coal is a scarce commodity in India. We don't have good quality enough coking coal. We have to import, and we can still manage our manufacturing cost with imported coal, but indigenous iron ore and remain competitively priced in India as well as worldwide. I think that is my view. We continue to work on this and also talk to government quite often on these subjects. I think we will continue to source domestically.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. And congratulations on now successfully merged. Sir, my question is mainly relating to casting. So how do we see, say, second half of the casting, I mean, volume-wise, if you can give, and within that, the segment, each segment, and then the heavy casting side also, as well as the machining. So overall casting, where do we see from, say, not 25 or maybe second half of the 25 and going ahead with 26? How do we really want to, I mean, the kind of, I mean, the capacity we have created, you would like to deploy it?
I would like to say that I am quite upbeat and excited about opportunities in casting business side. Casting manufacturing or the foundry is a hardcore manufacturing activity, and it is unlike a blast furnace where we just start the furnace, we get the full volume production or very close to full volume production. It doesn't happen in foundry. We have to stabilize the processes, ramp up the processes, and that's why we find certain hurdles in ramping up the volumes without increasing the or deteriorating the quality. We are working without any stoppage in creating the 250,000 ton casting capacity. We have our installed capacity is already more than 200,000. We will be at 250,000 and subsequently going closer to 300,000 installed capacity. Thank you very much. I think somebody crosstalk. I'll continue. Having talked about the capacity creation and the utilization of capacity, we have our current run rate recently in this quarter is at 13,000 metric tons per month. I expect to continue with that and build on that. And we should definitely look forward to see the growth numbers coming back into quarter two, and then how much more we can add into quarter three. I'm sure that we will add some quantity into quarter three from Oliver and more quantity from Oliver in quarter four. So I would say that we still look forward to the numbers what you mentioned, and we are definitely excited about the growth prospects and opportunities in the casting field where we are working. Our customers are very supportive. They have a lot of interest in Kirloskar Ferrous Industries casting and foundries, and we are working very closely, and we have onboarded new items from the existing customers as well as some items from the new customers, and I'm sure those are robust enough to support the growth for coming years, 25, 26 as well as 26, 27, as the item developments have been lined up sufficient to take care of the growth.
And sir, machining side and...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bharat. There's lots of background noise from your side.
Sorry, sorry. Is that now clear?
We can hear somebody talking from behind. That's fine.
Yeah. So now is it clear?
Yeah.
So sir, yes, sir. I mean, if you can add some more on the machining side, as well as give more color, as well as on heavy duty casting, and could it, could we reach, I mean, across, I mean, 2 lakh ton per annum?
No, I couldn't get the last part.
Yeah, and your aspiration for 26 is about 2 lakh ton, or if you can give some color, your ballpark number on heavy duty casting.
Mr. Bharat said everything doesn't go by my aspiration. I'm an optimist. I always look for great numbers. Like all of you look for great numbers, but as I mentioned, we have to really ramp up on certain activities. Okay. Said that, let me come back to the first point of yours on machining. The interest from the customers continues, and we continue to order machines. Recently, we ordered 30 machines with our machine suppliers, and we expect them to be delivered within next 8 months' time, and they will all be commissioned, and we expect to enhance our machine shops in the similar way. Customer expectations are definitely very strong, and you will see the growth, but I know that the growth has been slow in the past, but I expect to catch up well in the coming months and quarters. With respect to large castings, phenomenal you know, demand situation there, but we have already started small way making large castings, and we are going ahead with the two-part large foundry in Solapur, and we expect it to take 15 months time to install and commission, and that will definitely enhance our capacity, and we are working with our customers, and we will deliver large parts up to at least 2 ton single piece in coming days, and we are not there beyond 2 or 3 tons we casting.
And last two questions. On solar side, by the year end, what would be the capacity that we are expecting? And secondly, on the
question for our... I did mention that on the solar, we have already commissioned 35 megawatts, and we are getting the benefit, started getting the benefit of that, and we will complete entire 70 megawatt by October. It's the monsoon season. Some days are getting lost on the project implementation because of rains, but it is part of the business. We need rains as well. And Jalna location itself, we are working, and we have signed the MOU to make it to 100 megawatt instead of 70, which will happen in this year itself, commissioning. And beyond that, we are going to other location where we are working to add another 70 megawatt, which would be the next year project. In the meantime, in this year itself, we are ordering some balancing windmill power plants because peak hours 6 to 10, we can't use solar, so we need wind power there, and we are adding that immediately. With an investment of about 100 crores. And beyond this, I think we will have more clearer strategies in the next year. But we are fully committed to green power coming out of solar and wind to the extent what we can utilize fully in combined entity KFIR.
Sir, one question for Mr. Srivastan. Sir, I mean, still on combined entity, where do we see effective tax rate? Because still in console number, we are showing 30% above tax rate. So if you can give some color, where do we expect in this year on consolidated basis tax rate?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
See, currently in consolidated results published in for the June ending, we are showing tax rate is about 30%. Once, I mean, fully, I mean, merged as an entity, since NCLT approval is in place, what will be the tax rate for full FY 2025?
Sir, still I did not get the full question now.
What will be the effective tax rate, say, the current tax rate, adjusted?
Tax rate you are talking, income tax rate?
Yeah.
We are about 25%, sir.
In still it is, in current quarter, it is showing consolidated number, 30%, above 30%.
Sir, no, it doesn't come like that, because there are some disallowance, all those which comes, especially the CSR donations. That's how it won't reflect exactly 25%.
That's I was asking, the reported number will be what I'm, I mean, at the year-end for the full year?
I'll calculate and let you know, sir.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bharat Sheth.
The next question will be from the line of Aditya Nahar from Altana Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have no question. Just to sort of congratulate you on the successful merger of IFMT to you, Mr. Srivastava and Mr. Ektare. Wish you all the very best.
Thank you for your kind words and best wishes, Aditya. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Digant Haria from GreenEdge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, you know, firstly, on the casting sector, that in the last 12-18 months, the tractor has slowed down. Our contribution from tractor has gone down from 44%-34%, and at the same time, the auto sector has picked up, you know, meaningfully for us. First question was, sir, you know, now we are just seeing that even the auto sector may slow down the premium end, you know, there's a lot of inventory and all. Do you think that, you know, these proportions will reverse now, or we have made some significant inroads in auto sector that, you know, our volumes in auto won't fall?
Thank you very much for this question. I would like to say that, first of all, about 30% of our auto sales are deemed export, so they don't really fully depend on India market. To some extent, it's a different market segment we are serving. Another thing is, currently, typically, our top customers have been having different kind of volumes, and we are well supported on that, at least, in the last many years. I expect that current projections and current indications of the our leading customers from the auto sector is the going as per plan, and I don't still expect any major drop in volumes. Third thing is, we also have a good amount of penetration in earth-moving equipment, stationary engines, large castings, where the interest and demands are higher to balance the volumes. I think this is my understanding as on today. We need to be careful and watchful with respect to market demands in coming. Another thing is also what I am looking at is the monsoon has been very good so far, and expect to cover the spread in the coming or remaining part of the monsoon season, and we expect that to help the agriculture. Once again, the growth for tractor should come back. Quite hopeful, and I'm sure that even the tractor industry quite hopeful to pick up after the monsoon season in a very decent way.
Right. Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Sir, and our engines and off-highway, you know, has consistently been around 12% of the total casting volumes. Is there any scope to increase that? Because you have been mentioning that we are working hard on that, you know, these two segments, especially that off-highway and large vehicles. Any color?
Earlier, 12% was not 12%. We were still lower. We have picked up. I'm very sure that we will pick up further because of the customer's interest and requirement. The increased percentage would be on the increased base as well. There is definitely opportunity for further growth in off-highway and earth-moving equipment sector. We are working with the customers to add more volume there.
Right. So if all these things pick up together, like tractor also picks up, auto does not slow down for us, then we should see a good year for castings, at least maybe somewhere in the next 12, 18 months.
I think I have stated that quite optimistically.
Correct, sir. Fine, sir. Sir, and second question was, sir, on this tubes business. So this was the first time we got such a large order from ONGC. And you know, our contribution from oil country tubular is around 28%. Tap on this, because otherwise we become overly dependent on this one particular sector.
No, I think we are looking forward to debottlenecking, expanding, we will definitely look at value-adding sectors, value-adding opportunity areas, and we will focus on them. I think there is still a good provision to expand even in oil and gas, along with project and other in auto and engineering areas. I think we are focused on all the areas to load and acquire more orders and more customers to make our servicing board more robust.
Yeah, right, sir. Sir, in the tubes business, what is our highest, or, you know, what one or two products are we most bullish on? Because maybe, you know, we have an edge there, or we have a very good margin there, or less.
I don't think it has remained stable. Earlier, ISMT was very well known for bearing quality steel and bearing quality tubes. And we continue to hold on to that. And I found that it got suffered because of more entrants. At some level, it went up to one dozen people there, got crowded, the margins got compressed, and we were thinking of why do we do this business. But I am very focused in this segment. We will create a differentiator, and we will work on our cost of manufacturing, our productivity, our offerings to customers. We will be very happy once again to have a dominant position in the bearing, which has been the traditionally strong area of ISMT. In addition to that, as you know, we have started and we got into premium couplings, oil and gas, and that is a growth opportunity for us. And at the same time, we will be also have a good niche, good market, have a precision tube making facility, which should place us well on the power sector, boiler tubes. I think these three, four areas are the key focus areas to build the volumes to achieve growth.
Right, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question will be from the line of Sahil Rohit Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and again, congratulations for your March of ISMT. My first question was, sir, what was the transfer of Hapigai to ISMT this quarter, or maybe, now that you're saying 55,000 tons can be, per furnace per quarter production number. So what is the transfer per quarter?
Around 5 to 6,000 per ton, 60 to 70,000 max per year.
Okay, okay. So so roughly, we should be able to sell, say, 1,40,000, 1,50,000 tons of pig iron per quarter if everything works fine?
Yes, so what I mentioned is, month of currently, July month, for example, without the transfer consideration, we had a sales of, say, 54,000, 55,000 tons. And out of that 5,000 goes, we still will be left with 48,000, 49,000. But we expect decent increase in the productivity with the oxygen enrichment coming in October, and that should more than compensate this loss of deemed sales, and we should be once again above 50,000 sales in the market, even after considering ISMT as internal transfers.
Got it, sir. Secondly, sir, which are the customers that we have with Oliver Engineering? And if you can give us maybe a utilization level or the sales volume that we are targeting for FY25 at Oliver, this is more of from the modeling purpose, sir.
I couldn't get your question, Sahib.
So my question is, sir, which are the customers that we have at Oliver Engineering? And what is the utilization level of the sales volume that we are targeting for FY25, more of from the modeling purpose?
See, basically, there are potential of one dozen customers in the northern part of India. And currently, we are working with five of them. And all of them happen to be our existing customers, and we supply from the south. And we have made arrangement how we can supply more quantity by supplies going up from Oliver. And currently we are developing about 15 parts, which can easily give us 1,500 to 2,000 tons per month kind of volume once we ramp up and stabilize these supplies. And we expect it to bring us a Delta X additional capacity utilization and additional sales volume coming out of our presence in North.
Right, sir. So my third question would be the wind energy plan that you have kind of, I think, preponed, because first we had a different kind of program on that. So I just wanted to understand the timeline on that, sir. I mean, you have told us that by March you should reach, say, roughly 100 megawatts. That will be solar. And wind energy, what will be the timeline and when do we start?
See, if you look at timeline, I just mentioned that solar, by the end of this year, we should commission 100 megawatts. And ordering maybe 11 to 12 megawatts of wind, which has almost 2.5 times generation. So it's when we say 10 to 12, it generates maybe 30, 35 megawatt equivalent powers, because efficiencies of modern windmills are much higher compared to earlier ones. So. I talked about this commissioning will happen in next year. And similarly, we plan to add another 70 megawatts of solar unless we change our mind or change this number. But that commissioning would be next year.
Got it, sir. Got it. And the last question is, there any update on the EC for the steel plant at Koppal? The specialty steel plant?
Yeah, I think I would like to answer this question. I think thank you very much for asking this. Important step in environmental clearance is the public hearing. And we conducted the, or the district administration conducted the public hearing on 6th of August and went very well, to the best of my understanding. Full support from all the neighbors, all stakeholders, NGOs participated in big way and supported the project in very big way. It's the testimony of Kirloskar's commitment to environment, green movement, we will, next 2 to 3 months, we should have the EC in our hand to start the steel project and other projects which are part of that.
Sure, sir. Sure. Many congratulations, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Suman Kumar from Antique Stockbroking Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one would be the what is the
not audible. Not audible.
Hello, sir. Am I audible now?
Better now. Better.
Yes, sir. Okay. So the first question that I had is, what is the status of the commencement of captive iron ore mining? And also, could you please throw a little bit of light on the CAPEX guidance for FY25 and FY26? And post the merger, what would be our net debt level currently?
After merger, what would be net?
What would be the net debt?
Net debt. Okay, okay. Thank you very much. I think status of iron ore mines remains same as what it has been in the last quarter, except that some more progress has happened. To the best of my belief, now we have all the approvals necessary for the mine. And we also have the approval for the road as well as temporary road permit for the road. But now we have to complete the getting the necessary documentation done and start the mine. So I expect mine to start any time. And you know, every time I speak, there are some steps and which are taking unduly long time. I hope I'm hopeful that it will end and we start the mines very shortly. And with respect to CAPEX, I would like to say that all of our planned programs are online, though timing-wise there has been delays in certain. I think important projects which are in progress, one is I talked about the increased pulverized coal injection with oxygen plant that is coming up. Oliver is getting ready. We got the power last week, and we will be taking 4 to 6 weeks to complete all the equipment trials and start the foundry in September. Then we will submit samples and start ramping up. I expect foundry to start operational in a small way from October, and we should be able to cover some volumes in the second half of this year, so the Oliver project. We are progressing well on the solar power plant. I talked about it already in detail. We have progressed well on foundry line 2, phase 2 in Solapur, getting geared up to produce full quantity in Solapur. Should be able to, as early as possible, go to 5,000 tons per month. So now I talked about the environmental clearance and public hearing completion, and we will be getting into the steel project. And I think we continue to invest and expand the machine shops. There is no change in that position. However, our total debt is in the range of 800 to 1,000 crores before merger, after merger. No major increase in the debt. Our investments are in line with our cash generations, more or less, except plus minus 100, 200 crores here and there. My looking forward is that we improve on the margins and profitability in coming months and quarters, and we should be still be able to hold on to the debt levels in spite of the ongoing projects. The biggest upcoming projects are the solar and wind power and the steel project. Whether that will make a difference, yes, it can, but also coming here, profitabilities can be better, and then we should remain in the remain or go down in the debts and not really increase the debt in the coming years. That is my view, but we will keep updating you on that, what happens next year onwards. Thank you very much for the question. I think I covered all the three parts of this question. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on ISMT merger. Most of my questions are answered. I just have a couple of questions. What kind of capacity and CAPEX we are looking at for our alloy steel project?
360,000 metric tons per annum, and we already have iron making. It would be addition of steel making, and we expect the capex of about 750 crores.
Okay, okay. And sir, with respect to our capacity ramp up on castings and machining, if you can just help me understand how will both of these capacities will look by the end of FY 25, 26 and 27? I just want to understand the ramp up on both the sides, on castings and machining, since you mentioned that we have ordered 30 more machines. And so just want to understand how many machines we have right now, where are we adding on machining capacity?
We have about 100 machines. We are adding another 30. You can see the scale of orders. And I think the interest of getting machine casting and also expanding the machining from our valuable customers continues, and we will be required to invest on machining. The more machining value reflecting in the our account should start, because still we are marginal values of machining as well as machining value addition on the books. But I think it is going to pick up. And in addition to that, I would say that we are well invested on the foundries. As you know, we are also investing on line 2, phase 2 in Solapur. Oliver would be the next one. The current capacity is 28,000 metric ton per annum, and current facility is only for producing housings, but we are working fast to also start making their block and head. There is no good block and head foundry in the north, and we will bring one there and expand the capacity of the Oliver foundry to close to anywhere between 60 to 70,000 metric ton per annum, so that some meaningful capacity is available there to service the north customers. There's demand more than what capacity we can create. And with that, I will say that our installed capacity will go beyond 2,50,000 metric ton per annum. And we are also committed to completing the large casting two-part foundry in Solapur with a capacity of at least 15,000-16,000 metric ton per annum. All this put together, our capacity would be in between 2,50,000 to 3,00,000 metric thousand, and it is usable capacity and realizable capacity. And though we are at currently, like I mentioned, about 13,000 metric ton per month, but Oliver adding, Solapur expanding, I look forward to go to at least 20,000 metric ton of casting per month within next 1 or 2 years. I hope I've answered all the questions relating to casting capacity and capacity utilization. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Prateek Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning, sir. Sir, a couple of questions on ISMT. One, on the steel part, you did mention in your opening remarks that there are some operational issues that you're facing. So, can highlight what are those and what are we doing to solve those?
No, I think I didn't mention any operational issues as such, but if I have to just add based on this line, if I had to say, we acquired this company 2.5 years back, and we took up immediately the improvement on maintenance spare parts and essential infrastructure creation, and all that is necessary with respect to safety, continued operations, stable operations. We have done enough, and I think nothing is enough. We continue to do more. Second thing we took up in the last 1 year is debottlenecking projects, both in steel and tube, to realize at least to the extent of very close to 3,00,000 ton of steel and maybe 2,00,000 ton of tube. Those debottlenecking projects, many of them have progressed well, and many of them are getting completed in the month of July, August, September, and I expect improved volumes coming out of tube as well as some increased volume coming out of steel in the second half of this year, and that should really support us in operating these capacities in a stable, decent way. And subsequently, we have plans to expand the rolling capacity in Jejuri to 300,000 metric ton. And if that happens, then we will be able to roll entire quantity in Jejuri, what is produced. And the Hospet steel plant or Koppal steel plant, when it comes, the blooms will go to Baramati and get rolled. Thereby, the net sales outside steel sales would be mainly from Jejuri and not from Koppal. That is the strategic approach we are taking for steel business.
Correct. Fair enough. And so one on the tubes part, one, your comment on the margins that we are doing right now. And second, like you mentioned, it's a continuous journey to improve over time. And we are solving the power and fuel cost via the wind, solar that we are doing. But anything else on the fixed cost, our employee expense, etc., that we were intending to improve over time? So where are we in that journey over the last 2 years, and how far have we come?
Yeah, thank you very much. The key focus definitely has been, number one is stable expanded business volumes. The volumes in tube and steel, what we are talking today, were not there 2 or 3 years back. We are bringing stability. We are bringing stability in the markets, continued order support from the customers, both for steel and tube. And subsequently, once we have a stability and productivity levels, all these higher productivity levels will also support us to bring down the costs. For example, the power and fuel will not remain at 18%, will drop to maybe 15% once we have the enhanced volumes, what we are realizing recently. Having said that, still the power and fuel are very high. We are working to reduce. You are, I think I talked enough on that. Coming to also improving the efficiencies, especially in the steel plant, we are working on a number of initiatives on power, for example, the energy conservation, power factor improvement, then also on the consumption levels reduction, yield improvement, quality improvement. I'm sure that those aspects will also contribute in bringing down the fixed cost. With respect to employee cost, our strategy is very clear that we don't look forward to do any manpower reduction, but rather strengthen the people competencies, work on developing the competencies, and people produce better results. And increased output and increased productivity will bring down the ERE to sales in tube and steel business to the level of starting point was 10%. Currently, we are at 6-7%. I think it will come to 4-5%. And that is the value we want to give it to the people who contribute. And we don't believe in bringing it down to 1 or 2%.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Gumaste for closing comments.
Thank you very much, each and everyone who joined for the call, and also organizers today. Being a holiday or Saturday, you all cooperated with us. Thank you so much. And look forward to next quarterly call. And till then, goodbye. Thank you very much. Thank you. Back to Pallav.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.